Hello, and welcome to the Connected Community Podcast. Today, my guest is Natalie Ruiz, who is a plant medicine guide and integration coach. And the topic that we talk about is rape. Rape is a tobacco type of snuff that originated from the Amazon jungle and that has been used for thousands of years for ritualistic and spiritual practices. Before this episode, I had no knowledge of rape and this beautiful plant medicine, and Natalie shed so much light and wisdom on this topic. Rape is a legal type of tobacco that can definitely be misused. And so we talk about how to use it, how it can be misused, how integration is important, how the ceremony around it is important, and how to use it infrequently to have the most profound impact from this beautiful plant medicine. So I hope you learned a lot today and enjoy this episode. Please take a moment to give us a like, a share, and a subscribe. And I want to thank you so much for being here today. Enjoy. Hello, and welcome to the Connected Community Podcast, a place to explore possibility through mindfulness, movement, and self-discovery. Our intention is to deliver insight and inspiration while fostering conversations that are genuine, unfiltered, and deeply human. We hope you will enjoy today's episode. Hi, Natalie. I want to thank you so much for joining me on the Connected Community Podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me, Nikki. It's such an honor to be here and to just share my story and my work and whatever else comes.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this interview after talking to you prior. So you're an integration coach and a plant medicine guide, and today our topic is going to be rape. But I would love for you to share with the audience a little bit about who you are and your background and your ancestry and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. So my story with plant medicine started about 5 years ago. It really came down to my own healing journey where I was working through some really heavy things. At the time, I was seeing a therapist, which was helpful, but there was almost a part of me that wanted to just go a little bit deeper, discover more. And I felt called to kind of go into research mode and look at plant medicine, specifically with ayahuasca. And coming from a Peruvian indigenous ancestry background, I always knew a little bit of ayahuasca, but not too much. Just because two generations ago, my family kind of lost touch with that part of our ancestry. So There was something deep within me that was kind of like, hey, let's go back to what my ancestors connected to in terms of medicine and how to heal. So I basically just went full in with calling in ayahuasca and see how that would turn out for me. And I found out about a retreat in Costa Rica. And I signed up. It was a week-long retreat. I had no idea what to expect. I had zero clue about where exactly this retreat center was at. So probably not the safest thing that I'd done, but there was no regrets. And I just went in and open heart, open mind. Never done any psychedelics before. Never really was into drugs. And just had no connection, no idea. And that whole week with ayahuasca really shifted my perspective on my life and why I was thinking certain ways. I was at the time healing an eating disorder, and I really got to understand why this eating disorder even came to play in the first place. And it just created a lot of connections with my past and traumas and my shadows, and really just looking at myself to really take responsibility on my healing. So after that retreat, I was just committed to my healing journey. I never thought I was going to go full in with medicine work, and got a huge message from ayahuasca that, you know, part of medicine work runs in my family. And it was really kind of my time to finally come back to our roots and share my story, guide my family to connect with medicines again. And I was scared to share this with my family because some of them just weren't very open. My parents definitely were not. But when I came back from my retreat and just shared from an open mind and an open heart, it really just kind of blew them away with how I was speaking and how I was approaching things and how I really felt so at peace with a lot of things. And this just ended up being a ripple effect in my family, where my cousin then went to do ayahuasca, and then my brother, and then my other cousin, and then an aunt went. So it was really beautiful to see that unfold, and really got a strong message again from ayahuasca to follow the plant medicine path. And I had no idea what that looked like, what that meant. I was scared. It took me probably a year to finally accept that this is part of my path. And once I said yes, things just fell into place. I ended up meeting a teacher in Arizona. I worked for her for a few years and really got to learn what it meant to carry medicine and hold space for others. I assisted in over 25, 30 ayahuasca ceremonies. And in these ceremonies, I also got introduced to rapé, which is what we'll be talking about today, and developed a really beautiful relationship with rapé and that medicine, and then with cacao, and then just other type of medicines that I could definitely go into detail, but that'll take hours to go through. So that's really a little bit of my story and what got me to where I am today.
So what is rapé for people that aren't familiar? I'm definitely not familiar until I started talking to you and doing a little bit of research. I didn't know much about it. And so what is rapé?
So rapé is a tobacco snuff from the Amazon jungle. It is from the lands of Peru, but mainly from Brazil. It's carried from indigenous tribes like the Nukini, the Yawanawa, the Huniguin, and many, many other lineages that hold this medicine. And in the Amazon, tobacco is known as mapacho. So really with rapé, we like to say that it's a mapacho base with other medicinal plants. So every rapé has a different blend, and it could be the mapacho with flowers or vines or trees with a combination, and each combination has a different healing property and a different energy to it depending on your intentions. So it's a really beautiful masculine plant medicine, but gentle in a way that it holds you and supports you and grounds you back into your body and helps you clear negative energy or illness or just anything that may be blocking you spiritually, mentally, emotionally. So it's one of my greatest plant allies and has supported me on my healing journey and outside of ayahuasca ceremonies as well.
Yeah. When you say it has a masculine energy and people talk about ayahuasca having a feminine energy, can you talk a little bit more about what that means?
Yeah. So in indigenous tradition in the Amazon, they consider ayahuasca as feminine. She shows up as grandmother or mother ayahuasca. However, there are certain indigenous traditions that believe that she doesn't have any gender connected to her. And they just think it's just a plant. There's no right or wrong. But with the way that I've been taught in my teachings, which is rooted in Cocamea teachings of Peru, I've been taught to view ayahuasca as a feminine and grandmother, and I've also been taught to view mapacho tobacco as a masculine grandfather energy. So a lot of the indigenous tribes look at mapacho as grandfather spirit. He's very, very direct. He just kind of cuts through the BS. If he knows that you're off track, if you're not in alignment, mapacho is going to be the one to be like, hey, get back into alignment. We need to come back into our bodies, connect back to the earth, not be so much in a headspace, because with ayahuasca, there's a lot of happenings in ceremony where people will get very much in their head or maybe even out into the spiritual realms. So what mapacho does is he reminds us to kind of come back, that we need to kind of find a balance with masculine and feminine. So he shows up in that way for us, of just being that grandfather that we all need, I think, in our lives.
And so if somebody takes rapé, what form do they take it in? How do they ingest it?
So rapé is always distributed through the nose. So there are two ways that you can receive frappe, and that is either through self-administration with a tool that's called a guripe, and it's basically a V-shaped tool that is either made from trees, from bark, from bones, bamboo. It can be made through any of those. And in essence, you scoop up the tobacco snuff, the vrape, and it's very finely grinded. It turns into a powder, and usually you start off with a pea size amount, and you'll just blow it into each nostril. The other way that you can use it is with a depi, when you are sitting with an experienced facilitator or shaman or guide, to blow the rape into each nostril. So there's different benefits, pros and cons with the guripe and depi, but they're both very powerful and the way that you connect with rape.
Mm-hmm. And what does it feel like? Does it burn your nose when it goes through? Does it give you tons of energy? How does it feel?
Yeah, so rapes can be pretty intense at times. Again, because he's masculine, he's just very direct. So you will feel him right away. Unlike ayahuasca, sometimes you may feel her right away, or it may take some time. You'll kind of be there like, is anything happening? With rape, it's very clear that he is there and present with you. Mm-hmm. And it can burn a little. And I always tell people when I serve them, like, this isn't a pleasant sensation. I'm very mm-hmm. just transparent.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why he shows up that way, because one of Rape's biggest teachings for us is to remind us how to trust and to surrender, that all pain and discomfort, suffering is always temporary, as mm-hmm. long as we surrender to it, as long as we let go and trust the process, it becomes a lot smoother. So the first blow usually will be a burning, tingly sensation that kind of feels like your third eye is just being fully open and activated. Mm-hmm. It can cause a little bit of tears. You can feel your energetic body vibrating and energetically cleansing. And sometimes it can create an emotional reaction as well. So you may feel like your heart is opening, and some people will cry. But it really varies from person to person of how rape shows up for them.
Mm-hmm. And so how long does that experience last?
Again, depending on person to person, it can be a very quick experience, like anywhere up to 5 minutes to 15 minutes. Sometimes it can be up to an hour. But also, because rape can be used in ayahuasca ceremonies or with combo, for example, that experience can last a lot longer because you're incorporating another medicine working with rape. But generally mm-hmm. on its own, anywhere from like 15 to an hour.
Mm-hmm. And so what are some of the reasons that people would come to you for that rape experience?
I've had a lot of people come when they feel a disconnect within themselves, but also with their spirituality or with the earth. I have a lot of people come to me post ayahuasca ceremony or plant medicine journey, where they are having trouble remembering the teachings, remembering why they even went to be in ceremony in the first place. Rape is very good to kind of just come back into center, remind you of your truth, of your authenticity, of your power. And so I get a lot of people just trying to come into alignment with that again. Or I have others moving through very difficult transitions in their life, where they may are having a hard time accepting change, having a hard time leaning into the unknown. They'll mm-hmm. come to me, and rape is there to, again, have you come back into your center, remind you that everything's okay, trust the process. And then other times I work with people who have been dealing with grief or heartbreak, because rape is also really a great support with that. And depending on the blend that you use, I can use a blend that has Bobinsana, for example, and Bobinsana is considered a heart doctor in the Amazon. So when I use that blend specifically, it just is such a beautiful and comforting, supportive energy when someone is moving through grief and heartbreak.
Mm-hmm. And so physiologically, what are they feeling? Is their heart rate increase? Do they have temperature changes? Do they feel more energy? Do they do they feel this expansiveness? Like, what is it that they're feeling?
Yeah. Again, it depends on the person. Mm-hmm. I've seen it all, and I've experienced a range of different things every time I've sat with Rappe. But you can definitely feel an expansiveness. You can feel almost like you're being rooted into the earth beneath you, but you also feel like you're connecting to the cosmos above you. So it's mm-hmm. a really beautiful balance of being in between. And connecting to your higher self, connecting to your ancestors, your guides, while still being rooted into the earth, feeling grounded in your body. Other times you can feel like you're literally getting knocked off your feet so that you can come back into alignment. And when that happens, sometimes people can feel maybe a little bit dizzy, sometimes a little bit nauseous. But again, with trusting in Rappe and his medicine, it's about breathing into it, surrendering, and trusting that it will fade. Mm-hmm. And then when you have an experienced facilitator, the facilitator can help guide you through that and also clear that energy.
Yeah.
Other times, yes, body temperature definitely can change. Some people can get really hot and they sweat. Some people will get a little cold. It just, again, just depends on the person, their intentions, and where they're energetically at that moment.
And so if you're doing a private Rappe ceremony with somebody, do they do one ingestion or do they do multiple? Or I know that would depend on kind of where they are and how things are feeling for them, but typically.
So with every session and every time you sit with Rappe, the ideal way of receiving him is to make sure that each nostril has been blown into. Mm-hmm. So, and you'll only go one round. The only time that you'll go multiple rounds is if you're someone that is walking the shamanic path or the medicine path and needs to do that as an act of initiation. So with people who are just there, like my clients, for example, to receive healing and guidance and support from Rappe, it's only one round of both nostrils because we want to honor both feminine and masculine within us. So we'll always start with the left nostril, the feminine side, and then we'll start with the right side, the masculine side, to bring both into alignment. However, because I'm also trauma-informed, I also like to honor if anyone feels like I don't want to do a second one. There's mm-hmm. no right or wrong doing in doing that. I encourage people, but I also know that if someone's not ready for more, then to honor them, that's okay. Mm-hmm.
And so Rappe is legal. And so what happens, what is the danger of somebody getting a hold of Rappe on their own and then ingesting a whole bunch of it, which yes. I know is a bad idea, but let's yes. talk about that just so people don't go off the deep end here.
Yes. Thank you for asking this question because I think it's really important to also acknowledge that plant medicines, although are very healing, can be very potent in terms of also teaching us consequences in a sense if we overdo it or over abuse them and take advantage of their healing. So when it comes to Rappe, I don't recommend people to use Rappe often, nor do I recommend that they just get it off the internet and from whoever. It's really important to know that when you overuse Rappe, because it is tobacco, because it is mapacho, he has an addictive quality to him because he's very powerful. And people, especially in the Western world, really love new experiences and sensations and getting a high, even that Rappe can sometimes give you like a buzz. Mm-hmm. So then people get addicted to that buzz feeling and just want it all the time. But again, if we use it often and just use him for that feeling, we can get addicted and it can be hard to get off of Rappe because he's pure tobacco. There's nothing else. And the purest tobacco can be very, very potent. And it can truly make us sick. And Rappe will show us that it's not okay to abuse him. When we start getting sick, we'll know that we're out of alignment. So I always urge people to be very careful about how they use Rappe and who they go to see as well. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately, there are some facilitators who will just give because in return, they're just getting money. So there's definitely a huge, you know, just overall message that I try to share with people of just having caution.
Mm-hmm. And does that addiction look like a tobacco addiction, like a cigarette addiction, or does it look different?
Pretty similar. It's almost like they'll always need it. They'll feel like they need to use the curipe and blow into each nostril throughout the day. Mm-hmm. It will just become a really bad habit. And again, not an easy one to break.
Mm-hmm. And so people come in and they have this experience and it lasts for 5 minutes to an hour, depending on the person. And I'm assuming that after that experience, there's a lot more that needs to take place. Like when you're doing a session with someone, it's not just 5 minutes and then they leave. There's a lot of integration pieces to that. So let's talk about that integration. That's another reason why I think it's important to do something like this with somebody who's skilled and knowledgeable in this area versus just getting off the internet and doing it on your own, because I imagine that there's a potential to have a profound experience and then not being able to integrate it and understand it, mm-hmm. Or having a profound experience and then not taking that knowledge from that experience and in a way that can benefit from us, kind of dismissing it. So can we talk about that integration piece?
Yeah. Integration is such an important piece with any plant medicine that you work with. And thankfully, one of my first teachers really like honed it in on me to integrate and understand what integration means and what it looks like, especially when we work with medicines. In session, it's very important to honor and know that because everyone is going to react differently or experience the medicine differently, it's important to know that you're going to want to hold space for whatever comes up. So you don't want to serve someone and then all of a sudden they're done feeling it. And then you're like, okay, nice to see you. Have a good day. And just kind of let them be. Mm-hmm. Because it can take a while for the energy to kind of go away on its own so that you can come back into your own energy and your own power. Again, kind of what I said earlier, Rape kind of knocking you off your feet. It may take others time to come back into center. So what I like to do is once I serve people, I also do energy healing. I help and support the energy that wants to come out and support the individual if they're having a difficult time surrendering or feeling the emotion that may come up or the thoughts or sometimes memories. And I'm there to guide them and to let them know that it's safe for them to let go, to release, and know that they're being supported. And once I feel into the energy and feel the energy settling, I just allow them to lay down. I have them lay down and surrender and rest and really process on their own, depending on the energy and how Rape wants me to work that day. I may sing, I may chant, I may help energy continue moving out. And I basically just check in with the energy each time to see where they're at, what they need, ask if they're okay, what do they need. And after that portion is closed, I close the ceremony. I ask Rape to go back into the ethers and have people come back into their body and say thank you, a lot of gratitude and prayers. And I pretty much open up the container to integrate where really, we just allow the client to verbally process out loud, express anything, ask questions if something was really like confusing for them, like why did this happen or why did I feel this? It can be really supportive and healing to have that space so that people don't leave the session like what just happened and what was that for?
Mm-hmm.
And understand Rape too, because again, mm-hmm. because he can be so direct, some people can kind of be like, well, what mm-hmm. was that? Like, why did Rape show up so intense at times? Mm-hmm. And I'm there to kind of just bring the connections together and also guide people to find the answers within themselves.
So what about when people come in and they want to have this experience with you, but they're very logical and practical and their heart is a little bit or a lot closed down and they're not in a place of being able to receive, mm-hmm. And say they have a 5-minute experience with you and then there's that integration piece. How do you work with that individual that is a little bit harder to crack?
Yeah, that's a good question. So with that, it depends. One, because of my process, I like to make sure I'm sitting with people who are truly ready to dive in. Yeah. So I won't get many people who feel that really big block or aren't fully trusting. Mm-hmm. That to me as a facilitator shows me, okay, maybe they're not ready, and mm-hmm. let me guide them to other tools. That could be breath work, or that could be therapy sometimes for others, or journaling, like very simple things to help them kind of loosen up, mm-hmm. and then check in and see if they're ready for a yeah. type of heart opening experience. And then I do have people who are like, hey, I know I'm blocked. I have a really hard time feeling. It's not my thing. I don't like it, but I'm ready and I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Again, I'll guide them to do other things first before seeing me. And then when I see them, you can feel energetically as a facilitator when someone has just like a brick wall right there. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just about honoring that and explaining and teaching people that when we work with medicine, they're going to meet us where we're at. And if you may not feel that like expansive or the energy flowing through you or the emotions, doesn't mean that the medicine didn't work. It just means that the medicine is now trying to get to know you, and it may take time to develop a relationship with the medicine.
Yeah.
And I'll encourage people to, hey, maybe let's do two more sessions, not back to back, but let's do two more, integrate, do some breath work or some other tools, and then come back to really see how we can connect with Rape and slowly heal the layers.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody's working with Rape, say they're not working with any other plant medicines, they don't do any drugs, they have a pretty clean lifestyle, what would be a reasonable amount of time to participate in ceremony, like once a month or twice a year or quarterly? What do you think would be a good grounding check-in point for someone?
Yeah, so again, I like to check with people with their intentions, where they're at and why they want to connect with the medicine. And with people who come back regularly or here and there, the most that I'll ever give anyone is once a month, but only for about 3 to 6 months. It depends on where they're at, because again, I don't want them to depend on Rape. I want to teach them what it means to connect. Mm-hmm. Once we hit a 6 month mark, I check in with them, see where they're at, and usually urge them to connect to Rape, but through prayer. Because there comes a point when we sit with medicine that we don't always have to consume medicine, because yeah. that they're not there for us to always consume and to sit with and to learn from. There comes a point where it's like, okay, we've taught you what we can, and now it's time for you to fully embody it. So I teach people to connect with Rape by prayer and inviting him into your body, into your spirit, without needing to actually take the medicine. Mm-hmm. And then for others who are like, for example, going through really difficult times in their life, I'll do like biweekly, like 3 sessions biweekly, and then we'll stop, integrate, check in, maybe do coaching, or just kind of take a pause just to see where they're at. And that has been really supportive for people who have been really moving through very hard and challenging times without overdoing it with the medicine.
Yeah. And it sounds like people need to come in with a very clear intention of what they're seeking or what they're wanting from that medicine and that experience. And I'm curious if the experience usually matches up with the intention.
Mm. Yeah. So for the most part, yes. And then the other times where I see that the intention and the experience haven't been aligned is usually because the person coming in maybe wasn't as clear with their intentions, or the medicine realizes, hey, actually, before we get to that intention, we actually have to work through this first. Mm-hmm. And that happens with ayahuasca or with cacao. The medicines know they have such a high level of consciousness that I always tell people they're like 10 steps ahead of us. So really just trusting in them and what they want to offer us. So yeah, usually the intentions are matching the experience. Other times the medicine's like, let's maybe do something else first. And then the initial intention will be honored the next time that they see me.
Yeah. Would you be willing to share one of your most profound Rapé experiences personally?
Yeah, I have a couple. So the first one that comes to mind is when I was in an ayahuasca ceremony with my teacher. And this is when I first started on my journey. It was maybe the second time that I had connected with Rapé himself. And this experience was very profound in the sense that I finally understood what it meant to connect to your heart fully and authentically. I remember being served by my teacher during this ayahuasca ceremony that was very challenging on my body. And we were coming towards the end of the ceremony and she serves me. And I just remember feeling a rush of energy move through me and then immediately feeling a deep sense of love being poured into me. That at the time I had a very difficult time receiving love, that it was just like, I felt like I was drowning in love, that it was uncomfortable because I wasn't used to it, but also very beautiful, that it just felt like it cracked me open and I was finally able to let go and cry so much that it just brought so much beauty to that moment. And I also just felt the energy of the jungle come through and my ancestors and being supported from the earth and those around me in the ceremony space. It was just so much love. And I can't fully explain into words the energy of what that felt like, except that it was just divine love. Mm-hmm. And I took that experience with me really to this day. And really, I thank that moment for Rapé showing up for me like that. And in essence, you know, starting our relationship in that way, it was almost like a huge welcome home and a huge hug from grandfather, Rapé. So that's definitely a big one. And then the second one that comes to mind is outside of ceremony, where I was sitting in a lot of ayahuasca ceremonies assisting my teacher, that I was sitting so much that it was hard for me to integrate all of the ayahuasca ceremonies. It was almost getting super just overwhelming, and my body was going through it. My visuals, my messages were not making sense. I almost felt like I was going through a little bit of like psychosis. And I just remember needing to come back to my practice and coming back into my body. And for some reason, I just forgot about Rapé outside of ceremony. And then it just clicked that I needed to sit with Rapé. And when I sat with him, it just was a huge purge of energy wanting to leave, like fear and all the anxiety and maybe the physical experience that I was feeling after so many ayahuasca ceremonies, physically leaving my body. And that showed up as my body temperature changing. I was sweating. I was feeling nauseous. I was needing to spit a lot. And after that, I truly felt like I was knocked off of my feet, that I had to just lay down for a good hour and just surrender. And once that hour came, I just felt so clear and felt so relieved and thanked Rapé for his medicine and for teaching me to take it slow. And that was also a huge message for me of, let's not rush my path and maybe let's not do so much ayahuasca. So I actually ended up taking a step back from ayahuasca for a bit and had Rapé guide me in the integration portion.
And that second experience that you're talking about, did you have a guide for that?
No. So at this point, I had been trained by my teacher and she gave me the blessing to serve people, but also myself. Yeah. So at that point, I was already self-administrating, but I wasn't serving people individually yet at that time.
Yeah. And what is a experience that somebody else has had where you serve them that stands out as being super profound?
Yes. There's a few that come to mind. that were very beautiful, challenging in its way of just holding really big energy. Mm-hmm. But I've had an experience where I had a woman come to me really, again, moving through a lot of transition in her life, almost leaving a past version of herself. She was changing jobs, new relationship, moving, a lot of moving parts for her. And she felt called to sit with Rabe and to sit with me. And she explained to me where she was at in her life. And she really wanted to heal a lot of anxiety that she was feeling. So I knew right away that anxiety wanted to be present and come through. Yeah. So when I served her, she felt Rabe immediately. And it's almost like the energy in the room shifted very quickly into, okay, this is big, big energy, a lot of trauma that was actually being present that needed to get cleared and needed a lot of love and attention. So in that ceremony for her, she didn't expect to move through so much of her childhood trauma. She didn't know that that was what was causing her all this anxiety. And she pretty much just moved through a lot of the memories and parts of her that felt neglected. And through my support and Rabe's support, and also my plant allies, because I also call in other plants that I've worked with when there's big, big energy. She felt like we were helping her move through these really difficult experiences, but with a lot of love. So although fear wanted to be there, she felt so much love that she was able to let go and trust the medicine and trust me. That by the end of that session, which actually ended up being like a 3-hour session, she felt just so at peace. And it was almost, she was also a little surprised, maybe a little bit overwhelmed because she didn't really expect any of that. Yeah. But again, because a lot of my practice is about integration, I held integration for her right after, but I also checked in on her throughout the week and then held an hour long coaching session for her to really process and understand what happened. So that's definitely been my biggest one, and really rewarding and just beautiful to see that transition of moving through so much darkness, but then coming to a place of love.
Yeah. In one session.
In one session. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there's an experience, there's integration, and then there's that ripple effect that ripples through our life through years, or maybe, you know, forever. Like you've had those where it stuck with you and that was something you held forever. Mm-hmm. Do people ever come in and experience nothing and feel that frustration?
Yes. I've had a handful of people have that experience. And usually it's the people who have really big blockages or aren't fully trusting, maybe have been let down from other therapists or other facilitators and are kind of like, well, this is my last hope. And that in itself can be challenging to hold. But with my teachers and what the plants have taught me is to always just honor where people are at and trust that in time, when it is time for them, it will start unfolding. They'll start making connections on their own of what the medicine provided for them. At first, when I very first started serving people, it was almost like discouraging. And I would be like, oh gosh, I didn't do a good job. But with my teachers, it's like, no. That's exactly what they needed to experience. And other times I've seen that with people who need that experience of they didn't really feel much is usually the biggest lesson that they need to take away, because I had people be so used to intense ayahuasca ceremonies or intense combo sessions and intense everything and trauma and this and that, that that's what they're always expecting. Mm-hmm. But I've learned that when people expect that, that is also a trauma response of thinking that they deserve to go through intensity and forcing things and just chaos and destruction, when really they need to learn, hey, it's okay for just nothing, for stillness, for peace. Yeah. And I've teach people that that is okay. And I've had a lot of people come to realize like, wow, I've been chasing chaos. And now I'm realizing that even though I may not have felt anything, I'm realizing I need to integrate that lesson. And it's yeah. been really profound as well.
Yeah. And so when going back to the beginning, when you were talking about how the medicine is sourced, why is that so important for people to know?
In terms of medicine being sourced, is important because, again, unfortunately, with plant medicines and psychedelics becoming super popular now, people are capitalizing off of ayahuasca, off of rape, tobacco, all types of medicines, because there is money there. People are demanding of it. People are curious and wanting to experience these lovely stories that you do hear. But with anything, there's always a dark side to things. I've mm-hmm. been taught about duality a lot, of just the light and the darkness, and they just coexist in our world. And with plant medicines, there are people who don't truly respect the medicines and see it as an advantage to make money. And again, what I said earlier about Westerners, we have this this desire to just feel and get high and to just create that type of experience for ourselves, that people who make rape from not the best intentions know that. So they'll put other intense medicines or other drugs in the rape blend to create that like huge buzz or that huge purge of vibrations that people think needs to happen each time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately take advantage and abuse innocent people who sometimes are looking for healing or other times they are just abusing the medicine. So it's very important to know where your rape is coming from, who's serving you, and really questioning where and why people are even having rape in the first place or selling it in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. What are their intentions? How was the medicine retrieved and accessed, and where did it come from? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And even what their relationship is to rape. I think a lot of times people don't realize the importance of anyone that holds medicine, whether that's serving it or growing it. What relationship do you have with the medicine? Like, how do you view it? And is it in integrity and respect for the medicine and the culture and the indigenous who have protected these medicines? Or are you just seeing it as money and you don't really care and, you know, are showing disrespect? Is definitely a huge red flag.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything else that you'd like to share for people that are unfamiliar with rape that we haven't covered yet?
Not that I can think of. More than anything, I just try to really urge people again with just being careful of who they sit with, where they're getting it from. Understand too that it takes years and years of training to be able to serve this medicine too. Because it's looks easy. You scoop it up in your curipe or in your tepi and you blow into someone's nose. People see that and they'll be like, oh, I can do that. I can serve this. Oh, I can make money off of this too. And unfortunately, when people view it that way, they start to create a space for rape that isn't in integrity, that isn't safe, and don't realize that if you haven't been trained or haven't experienced intense rape ceremonies or sessions yourself, how are you going to be able to hold space for someone when they go through an intense experience? Is super important when you're deciding on who you want to sit with and why again. So I just tell people that when you're looking for someone to serve you, definitely question their training, how long, their relationship again, their experiences too, what's the most intense and how did they navigate that? Because when there are facilitators who aren't trained, unfortunately, I've had people come to me trying to heal a really traumatic rape experience and come to me to try to mend their relationship with rape because the facilitator didn't know what they were doing, nor did they care. And it's really heartbreaking. And it's just something that I try to just let people know that, yes, this medicine is very accessible right now. and it's easy to serve, but that doesn't mean that it's an easy medicine to navigate or to just serve to whoever you'd like.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this, Natalie. It makes me want to try it. And I think you've got such a sweet and beautiful energy. Thank you. Would you share how people can connect with you if they're interested in your website and things like that and any other offerings that you might have?
Yeah. So I'm based in Denver, and really I hold a lot of monthly women's circles. Has been my main thing right now, is just building community. A huge thing that I've been hearing from clients and just those around me of this need of authentic connection. So I've been creating these community-based events through Women's Circle, and I hope to do retreats and things like that to continue building just more community and welcome anyone and everyone. So that's definitely in my books for this year, of just these monthly circles. And then I do my one-on-one Rape ceremonies. Again, there's a vetting process through that. I check in to see where you're at and your intentions. I also assist in ayahuasca ceremonies, but I work with a organization called Plant Medicine People. And I go to Costa Rica and Peru to assist in their ayahuasca ceremonies. And they're fully indigenous-led, women-led. We're about integration, safety, and really just sacred, a very sacred and safe container. And what else do I do? And then I do energy healing for those who may not be ready for plant medicine. Yeah. And may need a little bit of tuning or alignment or just a gentle approach to healing the nervous system. Because a lot of times people will jump into plant medicines thinking that that will heal their nervous system, when in reality, it might activate a little too much. So I'll guide people to do energy healing work with me or whoever else to really get their body ready for such experiences.
Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I'll put all those links in the show notes for people so they can connect with you.
Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Natalie. I really appreciate your time and your beautiful energy. It was lovely having you today.
Thank you so much, Nikki. It was an honor. And thank you for allowing me to share my voice in honor of the plants and the indigenous tribes who have protected these sacred medicines.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Community Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, share, and subscribe. I can be found at www.nikkiyyoga.com, NikkiYyoga.com. Until I see you again next week, I hope you have a beautiful day.